AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It's not another confessions podcast, is it? Another one of the number one best-selling podcasts in the world.
Best-selling?
Yes.
Yeah. Right, okay.
I don't think we sell, it.
Yeah, people offer money.
Do they?
No, they
do
don't.
Offer me
no.
money.
They go to the news agents and they say, can I have...
They do.
They go down the news agents and say, I'd like a podcast, please, and I'll give a £5.20
£5.20
Yes. If you've got a copy of the latest Confessions podcast, because it can't be for free, can it?
Surely.
Wow.
Anyway, today's podcast is brought to you, if anyone sounds as though they're a little bit, it's because Matt's brought in donuts.
I did bring in donuts. What a great guy I am.
And the donuts have been, I've still got mine waiting for me.
Mine's gone.
That shows great restraint.
No, that's because you can hear if someone has been eating and when they're close to the microphone.
Oh, no.
You got food in your mouth.
Did you not even have a nibble?
No.
No. Look, it's all waiting there.
It's untouched.
Good.
Is it a jam one?
It is. The only way to have a donut is to have a jam donut.
Correct.
Everyone says that.
But you didn't get, you only got one jam one. You didn't get more than one.
I know, I bought other ones because I believe that we can all come together, the people who like the jam donuts and the ones who like ones with a hole in and the ones who like the ones with the sprinkles. Everyone's together. Just before we go on holiday, bit of a lesson there for us all, Suze. Yeah. It's all coming out. Yes.
Anyway, we're all here. We're all in the same place. There's no tack cupboard. Mm. There's no pub. There's no studio. We're all one. Mm. Imagine there's no heaven. There's no money. But we're all together. We are the world.
What? You're mixing all.
We are the children. I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Yeah.
We're going to be rifling through the parish notice board where the 5-star reviews are and where Matt's moral fan club live. Although really, there's thing that they have in common. Is they have no morals at all.
Correct.
We'll lift that velvet curtain on the not for broadcast section and now typed in a number of different colours. I don't know quite why. We're going to hear all of the confessions. Phyllis, I've got a migraine coming on.
Goodness me. Wow.
From this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Camille's French chicken confession, hold a chicken in the air, stick a deck chair up your nose, Gloria's hot and spicy Pringles confession, take these chains from my heart. The Reverend Ellie's confession, all stood still. But first it's over to passport control for Jason's misdemeanour, you're moving out today.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from, let's call him Jason.
Okay.
Father Simon and the Forgiving Collective, my confession dates back 20 years to a time before my wife and I had our beloved children, and thus a time when we shared a much healthier bank balance.
Hmm.
It was at this time that we had both saved up our pennies and been able to afford our first real fancy holiday. We'd been away for 2 lovely weeks to the place they named twice, New York, New York. We had just returned back to London, Heathrow. It was the wee small hours of around 3 a.m. in the morning, as 3 a.m. is usually in the morning.
Yeah.
And we were making our way towards passport control. This was the year following 9/11 and procedures had been tightened up accordingly. All took a long time. When getting off the plane, my wife and I had both desperately needed to use the loo. We'd spotted the signs and headed off to our respective toilets. Mine being the men's meant that I was in and out in around 60 seconds. Fast and efficient, I walked over and found the ladies and stood outside waiting for my wife. After quite a few minutes, she still hadn't appeared. So remember, this is around 3 a.m. in the morning and I was very tired. I put two and two together. I figured out that she must have already come out the toilet before me, gone on through passport control. In my tired state, I must have missed her. She would be on the other side of the gates having a nice sit-down, relaxing in the reception lounge. So I headed on through. Once reaching the other side, though, she was nowhere to be found. This was surprising. Feeling tired, I sat down. I figured out that she'd be along in a minute, but she did not appear. I began to get worried. We were at Heathrow, very far from home and in a big, scary, alien environment. I waited and I worried. After close to 15 minutes, I finally spotted my wife running over to me. Upset, she'd obviously been crying. Very concerned, I went to her to comfort and find out where she'd been and what was the matter. It turned out that there'd been a rather large queue in the female toilets. This, along with the fact that two cubicles were out of order, meant a particularly long wait. Whilst I had gone through passport control, she had still been waiting in the toilet queue. And unbeknownst to me, I had gone through with both my passport and her passport in my hand luggage. My wife had been left alone on the wrong side of the airport gate. No passport, no ticket, no evidence or confirmation of whom she actually was. She'd been refused entry to her country. She stood there crying, explaining that she was born, bred, and had, in fact, only ever lived in Britain. She asked politely if she could come in.
Does that work?
Please and please. This is around 3 a.m. in the morning. Okay. She was tired, sleep-deprived from jet lag, and very much struggling to keep it together. Incredibly, or rather worryingly, when you think about it, my wife, with no passport or documentation of any kind, was let in.
Wow.
Despite post 9/11 and all the increased global safety and security protocols that it had brought with it, my wife had been let back into the country. She was let in because she had cried to the people at passport control. Over the last 20 years, we have retold this tale many times, always to shocked looks and shaking of heads. But this time, I have a little extra part to add at the end, a part that my wife has yet to hear.
Oh.
What?
Father Simon, the Collective, I am here to confess, and confess I must. During that long flight back to Heathrow, my dear, wonderful, kind, loving wife had been getting on my nerves a little. The truth is that I'd gone on through passport control fully aware that she hadn't come out of the toilets. I can see the frowns of disapproval forming on Holly and Susie's faces as I write this. But I was tired and grouchy and needed a bit of me time.
Right.
Me time.
Yeah.
So I'd left her and strode on through. The guilt of seeing my wife's tear-covered face 15 minutes later meant that I quickly felt the full pang of karmic revenge, though. And it is with this in mind that I throw myself on the mercy of the Collective to ask your forgiveness. Well, good luck with that, pal. I'm not quite sure how that's going to go down. I mean, the first part was bad, you know. I mean, you could have waited. What are the chances of a woman coming out of the loo first? Zero, I'd have thought. Because that's the way they're engineered. But as in the loos, I mean, as opposed to women.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well done.
Unnecessary.
I hadn't even thought of that.
No. Sister Susie.
I can't believe this.
He did it on purpose.
Me time. Well, exactly. I think this is what it comes down to, is you knew she hadn't come out of the toilet and you knew that you had her passport. So how did you expect her? It makes me really cross. You've just left her there because you needed some me time because she was annoying you a little bit. I know flights can be stressful, but, you know, leaving... If I were her, I'd make sure she had the passports from going from now on. And poor woman had to plead to come back into the country. No, firm not forgiven from me.
That's probably the way it would go, Brother Matthew.
I mean, who's going to be able to forgive all that? I mean, I'm going to forgive. I'll forgive because, you know,
lead the way. Go on, lead the way.
Because you've got to be in control of your passport, haven't you? You should be in control of you. Shouldn't leave it to someone else to carry your passport for you. And particularly if you've managed to get on the wrong side of that person during a very long flight. Let's not forget that. And also, you know, it was early in the morning. I mean, who's to remember whether you're carrying the bag? Well, he knew. But anyway, but I'm just going to forgive because, you know, I mean, they've had a bad flight. And he's sorry now, isn't he? And he's guilt-ridden. So for all those reasons, let's forgive. I've never done it. But, you know, I'm sure he now knows he was wrong. But wow.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
The ravings of a madman.
I think you need a holiday.
I think we all do in a way, don't we?
You kept on saying,
And of course, everybody. Well, I haven't, of course. And then,
yeah. Well, no.
We all know, but I mean,
how
although
bad
we don't
would that
know.
Be yeah. To take your partner's passport, even if you have fallen out on the plane. Are they still together? We're assuming they still are. So obviously, got a very strong
yes.
union, haven't they?
They are yes, still together.
Yes, they, right. Because everyone in the family knew the story, apart from that last bit.
Yeah,
they'd done it.
I wonder
on
whether
purpose.
They would still be together if she did know that.
We have an update from
him.
I'm just trying to find
live update.
It.
Here it comes, everyone. Going through the emails. Yeah. He says,
here you go. No, he heard it go out on the show. He said, 3 not forgivens from the people's verdict. Oh, well, my wife found it all quite amusing.
Ah, there you go.
How is that good? That's not good.
Also, the word quite, I think, is working quite hard.
Really
in that
hard.
Sentence.
Yeah.
My wife found it quite amusing. I'd be worried, I think. If she was rolling around, if she was Roffle, you know, rolling around on the floor.
Wow.
But she just found it quite funny. Did you find it quite funny?
Not at all. I thought it was absolutely despicable behaviour. It was very, yes. very bad. And I think her standards are too low. I think she deserves someone better.
Susie sounded as though she wanted to hit him.
Yeah, I did want to
yeah,
hit him.
Yeah, I would have been the
it's
same.
It's just not that there's just places where you don't do
that's
things
true.
Like that.
You don't do things like that. Passport
and,
control.
And passport control is wonderful.
Also, she was in tears. Like, you caused your wife to be in tears? That's not very cool.
Also, my understanding is that in some cases, obviously not this one, but in some cases, particularly if there's a high security alert, as there was, because it was just like a year after 9/11, you can get put on a plane and sent back.
Yeah.
If you can't prove who you are and you've got no passport, off you go.
Oh, it's like that Tom Hanks film, isn't it? Where he's
there you go.
He's stuck in
the airport,
Trashamonje or whatever. Yeah, yeah. For however long it was.
What?
It was a long time
Terminal.
Though. I remember that. Yeah,
he's
great.
Stuck in
that
a Trashamonje.
Yeah, it was for the whole film. It's quite a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just think, but if you want some me time, there are other ways. Fine. Okay. You know that's fine. But he didn't know what was going to happen to his wife. His wife could have been locked
up,
put away, put on a plane back to America. Come on, man.
Get some me time. Go a different way home from the airport.
Yeah.
Like,
next time you want some me time, give your wife a holiday without you. Anyway, just a little bit of controversial help.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, now we're going to take a detour to the parish notice board, home of all the listeners' correspondence. Interesting usernames. And usually a worrying number of Matt fans.
Well, bless them all. We love them all. Here come the 5-star reviews. Mark Kelly, normal name, says, last week was a great episode. 5,000 stars. Makes my week so funny. 64 Brian... I should have worn my glasses. 64 Brian McGaw.
But you never wear
64
glasses.
Brian McGaw.
That's quite
great.
Nice.
That's very good,
is that a bingo thing?
64
bingo
Brian McGaw.
Why
that's
don't you wear your glasses?
Well, because I don't normally need them. It's only it's printed in a font that's
it's the same font that it always is.
So you do have glasses, but you never wear them.
Anyway, 64 Brian McGaw continues, 5 stars for the majestic Matt and the amazing team for this podcast who needs sleeping pills. Amazing
what?
Team for this podcast who needs sleeping pills. Oh, no.
Who needs sleeping pills?
Who needs sleeping pills? Who needs sleeping pills? None of this comes across well. 64 Brian McGaw. It's so relaxing. I'm asleep by the second confession. What? Keep up the good work. This house is 5 stars.
No.
That's not getting on. Apart from calling me majestic, so well done.
Well, there you go.
When he says 64 Brian McGaw, when you did your bingo back in the day, if there were people who had a name that rhymed with a number, would you incorporate
I would, I would definitely do that.
Oh, I can imagine loving that.
I'd say 77 Hilda McGavin.
And then everyone would go, woo!
And they go, Hilda, over there, McGavin.
McGavin.
Hagapaga. Hagapaga?
What?
Nagapaga.
Nagapaga. It really is the font. The font on this
paper closer
is
to
unbelievable.
Your face.
I've got it furthest that I can get it. 5 stars, says Nagapaga. Thanks for the help. Remembering the confession where a neighbour took parcels and was wearing the clothes come in handy.
What?
My neighbour came home early and I explained why I was with his wife. What? And she had no shirt on was because I was claiming back a delivery. What? I went home and it all worked out as he left 2 days later. What? None of this is making any sense, Nagapaga. Then my wife has insisted I go next door to help the neighbour around the house win a winner chicken dinner.
It's madness.
I don't think it helps that you can't.
He's gone round to the neighbours. She didn't have a shirt on. He was getting deliveries.
Yeah.
And then they all had chicken dinner.
I think there's a confession in there.
Is there?
I do think that also Matt, for future reference, bring your glasses.
I should bring my glasses on this one. I wish I had this time. And normally it's not as bad as this, but I think it's probably...
Remembering the confession where a neighbour took parcels and was wearing the clothes in the parcels came in handy.
What was wearing the clothes came in handy.
Yeah, so...
Was wearing the clothes came in handy.
Yes.
Was wearing the clothes came in handy.
So remembering the confession where a neighbour took parcels in and was wearing the clothes...
The clothes came in handy.
Came in handy.
That still doesn't make any sense.
My neighbour came home early and I explained why I was with his wife
and she had no shirt on.
I mean, there's
was
no,
because
there's no
I
way.
Claimed me back a delivery.
There's no way you can get out of it.
No.
I know I'm with your wife and she's only wearing undergarments.
Shirt. She's got no shirt on,
but I'm claiming
back a delivery.
What?
I went home, it all worked out. He left two days later.
He's gone. So I think this person is having an affair with their neighbour.
I see.
Got caught by their husband, the neighbour's husband.
The neighbour's husband.
And
he decides two days later.
Yeah, to use
his wife insisted I go next door to help her around the house.
And then his wife.
His wife expected him to go around.
So
both of them are married.
Janice's husband's left
winner,
her. Why don't you go and help? And he was like, all right then.
Where's the chicken dinner? Where does that come in?
I don't understand it either.
That's a saying. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You've never heard that. But actually, no one has won here.
Or indeed a chicken dinner, have they? Nagapaga, wrong on all counts. Thanks for calling.
Actually, write in a confession, I think.
Yeah. Definitely do that, Nagapaga.
It's a little bit racy.
We've done worse than that. Racy.
This week. It's about to come up, I think.
It's about to get saucy. And Flapper 171066 says, 5 stars all the way. Love the show all week. And the podcast on Fridays makes me and the wife laugh all the way. Keep it up.
All
explosion emoji.
Oh, all the way.
Me and the wife
laugh all the time. Keep it up. That's what I said. What did I say?
Why did you say all the way? Laugh all the time. Keep it up.
I just think Matt needs to wear his glasses.
Where are your glasses?
I think it's been printed in an odd type.
The reason is, it's exactly the same. There's nothing wrong with wearing glasses.
No, there's not. Everyone in the room is wearing glasses.
Apart from Holly and you.
And me.
You do look smarter when you wear them.
You look like an accountant when you're wearing your glasses.
I do, yes. Correct. I look fabulous.
Do you not have them on?
No, an accountant would never wear
them.
I only have them at home when I'm
reading.
Which is what I'm doing now.
So you'd think I'd have brought them in. Yeah. Bit of freeform jazz, I thought, tonight. It was very good, though. It worked out well, didn't it? All the way.
I've got a headache.
64 Brian McGaw, all that kind of stuff. Brilliant. Anyway.
Susie.
Yes.
What have you selected from the notice board?
I'm going to restore some order. I've got this email from Ed, who has been in touch with us back in February. But he says, hi, Father Simon, that bloke, pub lady and Madam Tat.
Hang on, okay. So I'm that bloke.
That's great. Taken against him.
Yeah. Thank you to Sister Susie for reading out my email back in February. I'm emailing again to report back after your questions over whether my mum liked the Confessions podcast, because I think he'd subscribed her up. Without her knowing, and I'm pleased to report that she loved it, and she is very pleased that you are still in business.
Yeah, amazing, really.
What?
Very still. Touch and go.
I am also pleased to report that my brother, who remembers listening to you in your Radio 1 days, and his wife have also listened to the podcast, as well as my twin brother Nick.
Wow.
So that's three more listeners from Ed. They all particularly liked it when you said I look like I was a lifeguard in my orange puffer jacket, because they think he sent a picture, and I have been mocked for this. I hope that my report back is enough to qualify for TAT. Regards, Ed.
I think he's, given how many people Ed has subscribed, I think that's looking positive, but let's check in with TAT Woman.
Yes.
Madam Tat. Yes, it's fantastic, really, that he's got all of his family involved. Yeah. So, yes, a mug absolutely over to Ed at some point before Christmas.
We are so reliable as far as that's concerned. Thank you, Ed. Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming, please. And if they could make a little bit of sense. And if you could type in large fonts, that way Matt can
actually
read
them. Yeah, that
would
be great. Thanks very much.
I remember in some TV studios, when the autocue was up, the biggest font that was available was known as the Cilla font, because Cilla Black had to have the biggest font because she was a little bit short-sighted.
Amazing.
So we need to print...
Matt's script
Cilla font.
Okay, that's the way it has to be. Couple of mentions to LJM, Norman Jelly, Janine Moore, Richard and Lee Harrison, who were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, sausage roll bag.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast.
You just did it then. You called him Norman Jelly and his name's Norman Kelly.
It'll be what I say it is.
Norman Jelly. Hmm.
Norman Jelly sounds quite good.
Although sounds like
an ancient food stuff from back in the day.
Brought over on the conquest.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the time for the bit that we can't usually play on the radio, but sometimes the dodgy stuff does leak through, as it were.
Oh.
It's the Mark Knopfler.
Oh dear. Yes. Moving on.
Mark Knopfler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starting with Venny. Venny, I understand that the person you cleaned for wasn't very nice and didn't pay you on time. But there are official ways you can raise that, accidentally knocking his toothbrush into the toilet after you have used it and not flushed, and then putting it back really isn't very good, isn't it? And I'd also, here's another rule. If you have a confession which involves a toothbrush, I know what it is, and save yourself the time.
Yeah,
because
it's not getting on.
It's not getting on.
Not getting on.
I can't think of a single toothbrush confession which has ever made it on.
Now we have had toothbrush confessions.
Apart from the ones that Susie... Well, I can't remember them. Susie can remember them, but I can't remember them.
Yeah. I have no more for you right now, but I do know that we have done a confession that involved a toothbrush.
Okay.
And did the toothbrush journey to somewhere where the toothbrush was not intended?
I don't think so.
Oh, in which case it was fine then.
Yeah.
But it did involve a toothbrush.
Freddie, we know that when you live together, you often share everything with your roommate, but I don't think it's really supposed to extend to taking a pair of his underpants, especially as when you pop them on, you broke wind, and not just a normal one either, but a risky one.
Oh.
What? But, I mean...
This goes back to leaking through, doesn't it?
Yeah. It gets worse. As then, regretting your decision, you decided it was best to take them off immediately and folded them and return them to the drawer.
Put them in the washing pile.
It was over a week before he worked out where the smell was coming from.
Well, a week? It hung around for a week?
Yep.
Dear, oh dear.
If that happens, you just throw them away. Throw them in the bin. Well,
you don't leave the whoopsie in the under...
The whoopsie?
The whoopsie.
Yeah.
In the Frank Spencer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I don't think it was just air.
No.
Oh, it wasn't just air.
No.
I thought, he put that in the...
I did.
That's what I thought. I thought you were going to need to get medical attention, though.
No, it was a risky one.
Oh, my word.
Why would you just throw that out, wouldn't you? Very much what Holly was saying when she understood the confession. Now I've understood it too.
Anyway, enough.
Yeah.
Freddie and Venny, shame on you.
Yeah.
In fact, you should send us a prize.
What? Yes. I don't want anything from...
No,
that's true.
Definitely not.
No, I don't want any. Please don't send anything in the post.
No, thank you very much indeed. Enough of that filth. It's back to the confessions, the one that made it onto the radio. Though, to be honest, I'm not... I think when this first came to me from Susie, she said, I don't think this is going to be for the radio.
Yeah.
This is for the not-for-broadcast section. But with a little bit of cleaning up and a little bit of polishing, it did make it onto the radio. It's Gloria's tale, Take These Chains From My Heart.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I just checked the BBFC ratings and I think I'm okay to say it's a 15.
It's really a 15 tonight?
I think so.
Wow, okay.
I think so. But I shall read it in a PG style.
Of course you will. Yeah, yeah.
Or even a U certificate style.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
And everyone else can fill in the blanks. Mm. Today's confession comes from Gloria. Thank you, Gloria. Simon and the Confessional Collective. Not sure this is a good idea. About 10 years ago... I mean, this opening sentence is asking for trouble.
Right.
About 10 years ago, I decided to spice up the evening by surprising my then-husband.
Okay.
So whilst he was in the shower, I made the now ridiculous decision to get ready for when he came out of the shower.
Oh, understood.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I put something fishnetty on, which didn't leave much to the imagination.
Wow.
Now, to put some more context to this, my ex and I, although I, obviously he's not the ex at the time,
not the
of
time.
His confession.
Not the time.
My ex and I were no strangers to a bit of the hot and spicy Pringles variety of bedtime.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Can I express it like that?
Yeah, let's do it like that. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. Pringles, yeah.
I placed all our paraphernalia on the bed.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness.
And lit the candles.
Oh, lit the candles. Oh, yes, that's
what it was.
That's what it was.
Is that candelabras?
Good, good, good.
Candelabras,
yeah.
Box of matches.
I thought it was.
Have to be careful with the with the matches and the candelabras.
Yeah. Pringles, yeah.
The wax.
And the Pringles, yes, absolutely. Put the candle on the Pringle tube.
Yeah.
I think that's
very
what they do.
Practical, yeah.
Followed by putting on a blindfold and then handcuffing myself to the metal rings which were screwed to our airing cupboard door.
What?
Wow, okay.
Like
a... airing cupboard?
Like a... it's Father Simon, it's like a game of hide and seek. Except, really, I wasn't hiding very well. Or maybe a fancy dress party. We've all had fun with dressing up, haven't we? At the dressing up basket, that's what it's there for. Well, it was just like that. Until it wasn't. The shower stopped. I smiled and laughed at the thought of my ex's reaction to this wonderful surprise.
Yeah.
What a wife. Knock at the bedroom door. Ooh. I say the fateful words. Come in, my love.
Yes.
What I didn't expect was my eldest daughter's voice.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no,
who
no.
was 11 at the time, saying, Mum, what are you doing?
Uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
Father Simon, I was almost sick right there on my fancy dress outfit. Oh. Not that it was built for that kind of thing. I don't think you could put this in the washing machine.
No. Oh, dear.
Seeing your mum strung up looking like a combination of a hanging carcass and a throwback from Eurotrash is not how anyone should see their mum when they're 11.
No.
I have to explain to Holly what Eurotrash is.
Yeah.
A
bit late, though. I managed to somehow scream, get out, get out. My eldest made a swift exit, saying as she left, I just wondered if we could watch TV downstairs. The wee in this situation was not just my daughter at the door, but her friend who was over for a sleepover.
Oh.
I managed to say...
both of them.
Yes, you can go and watch television downstairs. Yep. Quicker than Houdini in his prime, I was off the door and hiding under the duvet. My ex came out of the bedroom, pulled back the duvet. I was in a curled-up position, and his words were simply, what have you done?
Oh, I say.
He doesn't
seem very saucy.
And I don't think Gloria actually speaks like, come in, my love.
Yeah.
Safe to say, my daughter hasn't needed specialist help over this incident, but if ever the words, come in, my love, are muttered, she does go a slight shade of green. Can't imagine why you'd ever say that ever again, to be perfectly honest.
No.
This incident is well known in my family and can be a great source of hilarity. For me, I die a little more inside every time it's mentioned. That's why I send it to you.
Yes, of course.
Well, I think we got away with that.
We did.
There
was
enough misdirection.
Yeah.
It's all about... crisps, spicy crisps, and a candelabra. Amazing what the entertainment can be. Sister Susie, what do you say?
Oh, dear, Gloria. I do feel for you here. I do, you know, there are certain things a child should never witness, and that is one of them.
Yes, a candle in the bedroom. Why would you have candles in the bedroom? Yeah. It's a shocker.
Candles in the bedroom. Your mum in a fishnetty thing. Just not, it's just, I'm not surprised you were sick straight away, or at least almost sick. Why can't you schedule these things in with your husband or ex-husband?
Your daughter
now?
Has a sleepover.
Exactly, that's not the time to do it.
She wants to watch television.
Just do it when you're on your own. I don't know. I just think that I feel like I should forgive you just because it was embarrassing enough, but I do feel for your daughter, and therefore no forgiveness from me.
Yes. Your daughter has a friend round.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
not
yes.
The time.
Yes.
Brother Matthew.
It could have probably been put on at a more appropriate time, maybe. But.
What, the fishnetty thing?
Yeah, all of the paraphernalia. But, you know, the emotions, the passions, they were all aroused, weren't they? So, you know, and you can't control that. Why was she shackled to the airing cupboard? That didn't make any sense. The airing cupboard.
It's a reenactment
on the floor. But, you know, and and everything with everyone was getting on famously, and getting out the Pringles as well. Good work. So no, I'm going to forgive because I'm pretty sure, you know, everyone was fine with it in the end.
Simon Mayo's confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
You seem to think the airing cupboard was on the floor.
Yeah. Well, that's where most people's airing cupboards are.
It's what? Not on the floor.
It's a cupboard.
It's a cupboard, yeah, on the floor. And also, it's never in the bedroom, is it? It's in the
no, the airing cupboard isn't in... Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's true. It is on the landing, but it's not on the floor.
Well, it's sort of, you know, by near the floor.
No, it's on the wall.
Oh, it's on the wall by the floor. On the wall by the floor.
What?
Yes. That's where everyone's airing cupboard is. I don't know where they keep them in Bristol, but
it's like any cupboard.
It's a cupboard.
Yes,
yeah.
It's a cupboard in the with wall the... on the floor, near the floor on the wall.
What do you mean near the floor?
Near the floor.
Also near the ceiling.
But every cupboard is near the floor.
You're correct. Near the floor but... on the wall.
I don't think that's the heart of the story.
Yeah.
Particularly.
No, neither do I.
But did you say?
I said
you need to schedule these things. Really, it's like a.
Well, we have had a confession in the past.
We did. I remember that one.
Scheduled it in and she put it into her diary.
Work schedule, didn't she?
Yeah, that came up on a team meeting.
That was very good. Yes. I like that one.
But, you know, maybe that's why that is a good idea. I'm just saying, maybe do it when you're on your own in the house. Just don't, not when friends are around. Your children's friends
yes,
around.
Yes, no, that's true. Yes, don't do that.
Yeah, no kids, particularly not no kids' friends who are staying on a sleepover.
Oof. So embarrassing.
Yeah.
Anyway, complete forgiveness on the people's verdict, including this one, who had a similar thing happen to them.
And Kath says, totally forgiven. We were once disturbed by our 9-year-old whilst enjoying hot and spicy Pringles on a Saturday morning. She asked if she
for breakfast.
In the morning, yeah.
Yes.
She asked if she could have a yoghurt. We thought we'd got away with it, but she revealed last year that she knew exactly what was going on. She's now 23 and has not required counselling. Love the show.
Just be careful where you have hot and spicy Pringles.
Quite right.
It's definitely the thing.
Yet.
Yeah, also, would she actually tell you if she was having counselling as a result of walking in on your spicy Pringle session?
Mm,
I'm not sure. She might be keeping it all bottled up.
Good. That's the best way to do, I find,
talk about it, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Surely it'd be such an awkward family event. It's one of those things that you would just never mention ever.
Yes.
Like, ever.
Yeah. Good idea.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we should all go to Matt's house right then. Find his airing cupboard, which is on the floor.
On the floor, by the wall, in the wall,
like
on the floor.
Like a basement door into
like
the floor.
Like a basement door. No,
is that where you keep
it's in the landing.
Your cardboard towels.
My cardboard towels.
Your cardboard towels, and also it's freezing cold in your house because there's no heat.
Well, not now because of the summer, but it's kept on the in the normal place, as everyone does. Everyone listening to this, by the way, is thinking... I don't know why everyone's got a problem with Matt. He's absolutely right. That's where I keep my airing cupboard.
On the floor?
Near the floor, on the wall.
So wait, maybe did you mean that if she was shackled to the airing cupboard, she would have been on the floor?
That's it! Exactly! Yes, but, that's what I'm saying.
But
she was on the floor.
The handle
for the cupboard is high up.
It should be, shouldn't it? But she was on the floor.
I also...
By the wall.
I have to say I left out some of the detail.
Oh, did you?
Oh, no.
Yes. Still to come, it's a tale of a pet poulet, which is, of course...
French for chicken.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Very unexpected, or maybe totally expected ending. It's Camille's French confession. Hold a chicken in the air, stick a deck chair up your nose. But first, it's Reverend Ellie's confession. All stood still.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Thank you, Reverend Ellie. Simon and the Hopefully Very Forgiving Collective. I am a hospital chaplain and also lead some funeral services from time to time. I have many stories of things not going completely right, such as last year when I inadvertently leant on the button and closed the curtain around the coffin only halfway through the service without even realising. I only noticed when I came to press the button, capital T, capital B, to close the curtain, turning to look respectfully across at the deceased as I pronounced the words of committal, finding they'd already been closed. At this point, I did what the funeral director later described as a double take, like something off Scooby-Doo. But I confessed to the puzzled family afterwards and all was well. Though the day that plays over in my mind was an occasion when I had arrived straight from hospital duties at the rural crematorium up the hill, needing to change into my suit. So I gathered up the clothes hanger from the back seat of my car, containing my navy suit, a blue top, and a scarf, which was my usual attire for a non-religious service, and trotted towards the toilets to get changed. offering a cheery wave and a hello to the staff as I passed. When I came to get changed, it was trousers, check, shoes, yep, all good, jacket, yep. Oh, where's my navy top? Oh, had I dropped it somewhere? I glanced at my watch. There wasn't time to go back to the car to check. I know, I thought, I'll just put the jacket on over my sturdy M&S bra and wrap the scarf around my neck, stylishly arranging it into the gap where another layer of clothing should definitely be. That should do it, I think. I looked at my handiwork in the mirror and felt sure that no one would know that their celebrant was a little bit underdressed.
Okay.
Why are you looking puzzled?
No, I'm wondering where this is going.
Well, that is, as long as those three suit buttons stay fastened. Otherwise, this could be memorable for all the wrong reasons. Think Judy Finnegan at the BAFTAs.
Which oh, I remember that!
Which I had forgotten until the Reverend Ellie.
Yeah,
but that's all the image that we need. The time was running on, so I exited the toilets and headed for the chapel. Very cautiously. One of the crematorium staff started chatting to me about the music and the live stream. Oh no, live stream? The stakes are higher than I thought. I very slowly turned to answer him, like a person balancing a basket of fruit on their head, clearly afraid of any jacket malfunction.
Yeah.
You okay, he asked. Have you hurt your back? You wearing a brace or something? No. All good, I responded whilst glancing nervously down at my jacket buttons. Still managing a cheerful but rather stilted smile, I then glided to the door, still balancing that fruit on my head, to welcome the family without any hugging or sudden movements. In fact, no hugging was my text for the day. While Simon, the service began, and to my huge relief, the buttons held firm, and no one in the congregation noticed anything amiss. However, I did deliver a rather static service without any animation, without any arm gestures.
No, don't do that.
I wouldn't normally start a Mexican wave or anything, but I do like to tell a story with my hands. One hand here and the other hand there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even walk over to the coffin to pronounce the final blessing. I just stayed fused to the spot like a showroom dummy or one of the guys in Kraftwerk behind the keyboard. I tried not to keep glancing down to check that all was well, but all was well. At the end of the service, I pivoted cautiously, paused in respect by the coffin, but no bow, or that would have been the end of everything, and proceeded at full but very steady speed towards the exit, clutching my service notes to my chest, and ran to the car, throwing myself in, at which point, I can tell you, everything kind of escaped.
Oh, wow.
But only once I was in the car, so that was fine. So, listen, Father Simon and everybody else, I'm sorry for being last minute and disorganised and taking a risk that could have gone badly wrong, but especially I'm sorry for delivering a rather lackluster service for this family, unlike I like to think my normal style, where I wave my arms around. Yeah. I now triple check everything before I set off. Thank goodness for that scarf, but folk like to hug, especially at funerals. Probably Matt doesn't like to hug.
No.
But people do like to hug at funerals, and this day it was just not possible. Health, safety, and decency.
Decency.
You have to remember these three things. In my defence, I have led lots of funerals where it goes very well and I'm fully clothed and don't...
No, good.
And I also don't press the button too soon just for the benefit of balance.
Mm-hmm.
But you would imagine, I would imagine that anyone, like a hospital chaplain, anyone who takes funerals got so many stories of things like... But here's a story that I hadn't thought of, because she'd missed her top, but because of her sturdy bra and also a scarf that filled the gap, everything was fine. I think Sister Susie's going to... be quite reasonable here.
Well, yeah, it's an awkward position to be in, really, isn't it? You've got no time to get another outfit, and it's just, I think she did her very best, and she didn't expose herself in front of the middle of the funeral, which is what the whole thing is about.
That would have been unnecessary.
It would have been unnecessary, but I just feel like I probably shouldn't forgive, because the deceased person deserved better and could have had a bit more animation in her delivery. But just for the fact that she didn't expose herself, I'm going to forgive her.
I think that's pretty reasonable. My guess is that Matt will probably forgive also.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. Although I can't be alone in thinking it would have, you know, maybe spiced up the funeral a bit if... You know, things are...
The funeral doesn't need spicing up.
Does it not? I mean, it's, you know, makes it memorable, doesn't it? And I'm sure that's what they would have wanted is what I would have said if I'd been at that funeral. And everything, it all came together using the Bible to stop hugging. That's a great idea. I'll be using that in the future.
I think the Bible came into it.
She used the Bible. Stop people hugging me. I've got a Bible. That's what she was saying. That and the scarf. So well done to everyone. And it didn't come apart until she got in the car. Excellent news. So definitely forgive
Matt
me.
Clearly hears other things that no one else hears.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Merci bien, Camille. Dear Simon and the Confessional Collective, this confession is about me, my family, and a chicken.
Ooh.
Based in rural France in the 1970s, back when I was a five-year-old girl. I've been listening to Confessions for a few decades now since I moved to England with my English husband. One of the earliest I remember is the infamous goat confession.
Oh, yes.
Now, I very much appreciate those confessions that involve accents. They're my favourite. Hopefully this one will as well.
Oh, great.
I lived with my parents, older sister and brother, in a small village near Nantes, where my father worked in the shipbuilding industry. My mother stayed at home looking after us three children. Cooking meals that we could all eat was often problematic, and she could not abide fussy eaters. Mm. She was a very good cook, though to her dismay, she had to present her succulent duck dishes as strong chicken, and rabbit was explained as misshapen chicken,
right,
to persuade us to eat a wider range of food. The village had a hairdresser, and for reasons I cannot provide, there were chickens and chicken coops in the window. Anyway, my sister went for a haircut one day, and she was presented with a small chick, a living one, I should add, in a box. She was absolutely delighted, as were the rest of us. We named the little chick Pew Pew, as in P-I-O-U, twice. She quickly became a favourite family pet, and us children had lots of fun petting her and feeding her leftover spaghetti bolognese, which she was crazy about. My parents were fond of the chick as well. She used to nestle on my mother's feet while she was cooking, catching the odd morsel of dropped food. When my aunt came to visit, who was a keen gardener, Pew Pew used to follow her around on the off chance she'd grab a trowel and start turning the earth, exposing lovely worms and grubs.
Ooh, lovely.
We went on summer holiday for a month, pretty standard summer holidays for us, after all this was France, and a temporary home was found for the chicken at a nearby farm. At this point, you're probably thinking of the classic story all parents tell to placate their children about sending a beloved pet to live out a long and happy life on the farm. But it was actually a farm, it was a proper farm, and Pew Pew was actually happy there. So happy, in fact, that when the holiday ended and it was time for Pew Pew to come home, Monsieur Guillenot, the farmer in whose pen Pew Pew was living, telephoned my mother, Genevieve. They decided amongst themselves that it was best for the chick to remain with its own kind, rather than believing it was a human. Time passed, a lot of time passed, beaucoup de temps s'est écoulé.
Oh.
25 years later, we're having a family lunch at my parents' house in Paris, where we now lived. My English husband-to-be, then boyfriend, was also with us all. Ma mère, Genevieve, had cooked a lovely coq au vin, and conversation turned to chicken-related subjects, specifically to our charming Pew Pew all those years ago. My boyfriend struggled to believe that a sophisticated and urbane Parisienne like myself had once lived in the countryside and owned a chick called Pew Pew. Whatever happened to Pew Pew anyway, asked my father. My mother's response was immediate, succinct, and eloquent. I made him into a nice coq au vin. You don't remember? C'était délicieux.
Oh.
Conversation stopped. My father went a shade of pale grey. After a bombardment of questions, we extracted the following explanation from my poor mother. It turned out that Pew Pew was in fact a boy, not a girl, as we all believed. He spent some time very much enjoying the company of the numerous affectionate hens in the chicken run. However, as he got older, he got increasingly territorial and aggressive, to the point where Monsieur G, the farmer, could no longer enter the chicken run without being savagely pecked by an angry ball of squawking feathers.
Oh, dear.
Monsieur G, having reached his breaking point, phoned my mother to tell her that Pew Pew had crowed his last cockerico, cock-a-doodle-doo à la française, and his plucked carcass was ready for the pot. Since it was originally our chicken, would we like him back? My mother, ever practical and needing to feed a hungry family, readily agreed and made the now infamous Coq au Vin. The cat's got the giblets. She failed to mention the source of the chicken at the time, understandably so, due to wanting to avoid any refusals to eat our pet. I asked forgiveness not from Pew Pew. He had a good and happy, if short, life. He also provided us with a lovely meal. Nor my late father, who was initially shocked to have heard about this secret after 25 years. He quickly got over it with the memory of the thoroughly enjoyable meal. I asked forgiveness from both Monsieur Guillonneau and my mother, Genevieve. Monsieur G, who had to endure a certain amount of bullying from a chicken that wasn't even his, but more so from my late mother, who was forced to this level of subterfuge in order to avoid us fussy eaters in my family, refusing to eat perfectly good food. My siblings and I all still eat and enjoy chicken, and even duck, and even rabbit.
Even rabbit?
Even rabbit, yes. Wow. Just call it strong chicken.
Yes,
if you have fussy eaters in your house. Okay, I suppose it's the circle of life. Let's see what Sister Sue's makes of Camille's confession.
Well, like, I'm shook, really, because the idea of eating a pet, I know that it happened, but it just is a bit, oh, I feel sorry. You think this chicken lived a lovely life and on the farm and, you know, over the rainbow and all of that stuff. And I just think, you know, your mother did what she had to do, I guess, but yeah. It was quite deceptive and... Yeah, but I am lucky I don't have fussy eaters in my life. They generally eat what I feed them, so that's good. But I can't forgive,
no.
I'm afraid. Foul play.
I know, it's foul play indeed.
Oh, very good.
Matt, I think.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. I'm with the mum on this one. What do you expect? If all you lot are going to eat is chicken, and we have a chicken here, what do you think is going to happen to that chicken when it becomes a little bit annoying and is pecking everyone? I'm going to stick it in the oven and mix it with some coq au vin, and that's it, and you're all going to love it.
Well, it is the coq in the van.
Indeed it is, quite right. When did we start giving away chicken in boxes when we went to get our haircut? I've never had that.
It's
I don't remember
thing.
It in France either. It's a very Gallic thing. So, yes, no, I'm going to forgive because I didn't hear much of an allo allo style accent, unfortunately. But that said, definitely forgive.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Well, what was wrong with my accent?
You didn't do one. Didn't do any accents in that.
I did when I got the French names.
Yeah.
The French name?
Yes, and I also spoke French.
You spoke... Oh, you did speak, but you didn't do the comedy French accent.
I spoke like a French person.
Like you have a boulangerie in
it was
Paris.
It was an actual proper French accent.
Actual proper.
Just not the exaggerated cartoon version.
Cartoonish one that got me through my degree.
Anyway, also... Yeah. So you said over the rainbow. I wasn't quite sure why you said that.
Yeah, it says sometimes over the rainbow bridge, isn't it? When a pet's died, they go over the rainbow bridge.
Is that right?
I've never heard of that.
They go over the rainbow over bridge.
Is that the truth of it? Is that what actually happens?
Go off to play in the fields with the...
over the rainbow bridge.
Over the rainbows.
That's definitely a thing. You don't just say like pet heaven. No, 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 because they haven't gone to pet heaven.
They've
gone over the rainbow bridge.
They've gone to pet heaven.
What's on the other side of the rainbow bridge?
Yeah.
Just something nice.
Something nice. 47.
You know,
pet heaven.
They've gone to live on the farm.
Bit of bingo. Well done.
Matt was a bingo caller once. Did you know
that? I did do that, yeah.
Wow.
66 Rainbow Bridge.
That doesn't even rhyme.
66 Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah. 66 Rainbow Bridge. No, these are exactly the same ones you came up with that were ridiculous.
My actual ones.
George Ford, 24. That doesn't make any sense at all. Anyway, all this is
getting
taken out.
Not holding a grudge at all.
Anyway, a mixed reaction on the people's verdicts, including this one, which was probably Matt's favourite of the week.
But John says, forgiven, the farmer didn't need to give the family the chicken back. He could have sold it for a paltry amount.
Oh, I see. Very good. I can see why you read that one out.
Gotta love the pun, haven't you? Paltry amount. Love it.
Anyway, well, that fortunately, what?
Well, I was just going to say, I have more information on the Rainbow Bridge.
Excellent.
If you want to.
Oh, good, yes. Good, good.
The Rainbow Bridge is a concept often depicted as a poem or story describing a place where pets go after death, waiting to be reunited with their owners.
Of course.
It's a popular and comforting idea for grieving pet owners, suggesting a way station where pets are restored to their youthful and healthy forms, frolicking in a meadow until their owner arrives to cross the bridge together.
Okay.
Wait, so when...
I die, then I will go over the Rainbow Bridge.
No, but have you got any dead pets?
And you will
be... Yeah, Troy the hamster.
Okay, well, Troy the hamster will
Troy
be
the
there.
Hamster is waiting for you
over
in the meadow.
Over the Rainbow Bridge. The
isn't this kind of just heaven?
No,
wow,
it's because like, they're waiting.
Very quickly.
They're waiting for you.
They are waiting for you.
They're waiting for you in the frolicking meadow.
But, yes. But also...
Over the Rainbow Bridge.
You
the
might
Rainbow
be going... You might not be going to heaven. You might
no,
be
that's
going.
True, Holly. Yeah, you might not
Why
be.
Why not? Hmm. I'm Sister Holly.
Yeah, Sister Holly. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
You're the worst. And now over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and this week's code phrase is on the wall near the floor. On the wall near the floor is this week's code phrase.
Dear me. If you've listened this far, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads, or you can post it to me on Blue Sky. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in the shower or the garden and leave us a glowing 5-star review if that's okay. We're off on our annual drive time holiday together, but we're going to bring you some lovely From the Crypt specials to keep you company while we're away, including a sausage roll in a swimming pool that causes an evacuation. I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
A nun in a shaken up portaloo, and taking your in-laws to naked swimming to highlight just a few fond memories there. First episode is up at the usual time next week. Until then, from the pub, although she's in the studio, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the cupboard of tat, which he looks after with great authority and style, mm-hmm. Sister Holly says...
See you later, alligator.
And Matt says...
Goodbye!
Thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
This is going to be a delight to edit.
Yeah.